This is the Freshman 15.
My name's Daniel Long, and ready your breakfast and eat hearty, for tonight, we dine in hell.
And I'm Jeremy Bear, and I'm down with the sickness.
Oh, wow!
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness! Get up, come on, get down with the sickness!
So, Jeremy, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's just do it.
There's people in it.
Yeah? And how do you know they're not all fucked up like everybody else out there?
If we start letting people in here, we're gonna let the wrong ones in, and then I'm dead. And you know what? I don't wanna die.
We're the wrong ones.
Nobody here is sick, and I intend on keeping it that way.
Look, I just think we should...
I did not ask for your opinion, lady! Now, if you want to argue with me, you can argue with this.
Hey, take it easy.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Get the gun out of my face.
You can't just turn them away, CJ. You'll kill them. I'm not killing anybody.
You know what? I'll kill you.
No. Stop it, CJ. Don't do this.
Shut up! I'll kill each and every one of you to stay alive. You hear me?
So, Daniel Long. Part 3, Summer Blockbuster Directors.
Gone through Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, J.J. Abrams, we've arrived. And I was thinking about this a little bit. See, when you think about what these directors' specialties are, You've got Michael Bay, the king of the explosions, the crazy camera, and in some ways, like, you know, disaster director.
Oh, yeah, right.
We move into J.J. Abrams, the sci-fi action franchise maestro. I mean, you know.
Whom you love.
I
think that's clear.
It's clear. And apologies again to all
Don't
those.
Don't apologize for your,
no?
your JJ love.
You're right. I should just commit.
Yeah, dude.
All right. The fantastic, underappreciated JJ Abrams with his Star Wars and his Star Trek and all of his fancy franchises. But there's one summer blockbuster topic that I felt like this series would be incomplete without addressing. And that, of course, is the topic of superheroes.
Oh, we're going to go here.
How can you not talk about superheroes when you're talking about summer blockbuster films? And who better to be the representative of the superhero director than the guy who's basically in charge of, I'm going to say, the DC Comics universe?
Oh, yeah. He's all over it.
Yeah. And, of course, that's
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, right?
And that's who we're talking about.
Now, of course, his freshman film had nothing to do with superheroes.
No.
But, I mean, he's best known for not just superheroes, but in general comic book properties. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say nearly all of his movies are some sort of comic book properties. And even his first film, while it wasn't necessarily based on a comic book, there's that sort of pulpy edge. You know what I mean? It's that sort of pop culture thing that you can see. It's an easy translation. And of course, talking about zombies.
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. A remake of a sequel.
Fascinating choice.
You know what I mean?
But there's a lot of different fingerprints on this film. I mean, we have Zack Snyder, his freshman film.
Sure.
James Gunn.
Of course.
Writing the screenplay of this film. Another major superhero.
Superhero director, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Guardians of the Galaxy, definitely.
I know we're talking about Dawn of the Dead, and we're going to get there.
Mm.
But you started this with the superheroes, and I think you knew what you were doing.
Sort of. See, this is what's so interesting, because with Zack Snyder, our third director of three, that, quite frankly, gets a lot of shit.
Oh, he gets a lot of shit.
A ton. And, you know, and we can get into how earned or unearned a lot of that is. But the fact of the matter is, I think part of the pattern that I'm seeing with these blockbuster directors and the amount of grief that they get from audiences has to do with the fact that their movies make a lot of money and they're based on properties that make a lot of money. I don't know. I wonder if there's like a part of it where people get their dander up over it because they just feel like, well, hang on. Did you earn the success that you're enjoying here? Michael Bay, do you really deserve all this money that's rolling into the box office? J.J. Abrams, do you deserve to be the guy who's handling Star Wars and Star Trek? And I think it's the same thing with Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, do you deserve to be the director who's in charge of Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and all these different properties that I love so much?
So you think then the viewers or the fandom around these different franchises, they're kind of the gatekeepers for whether or not these directors are respected?
I think in a way, and in fact, I think it's so rare, and it's interesting, you know, you brought up James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy, much loved film.
Yeah.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2 came out. And while people liked it, they, you know, then all of a sudden, but he transgressed, you know, he didn't make a film with his second time out that was quite as good as his first film. Does he deserve to be the person who's in charge of further superhero properties and that kind of thing? Hey everybody, Jeremy and Daniel here. Wanted to just put the brakes on things a little bit. By the way, what you're hearing right now was recorded after the fact, and the reason that we're recording a little something after the fact is to acknowledge that, yes, we are aware of the recent controversies about James Gunn, but we recorded the episode long before all that stuff came out.
Which is like the first time we've actually done this.
Yeah, right? Well, that's true.
I mean, where we've recorded the episodes far in advance, and of course something like this is going to happen. And I know you, Jeremy Bear, and I know you have thoughts about this.
Well, it's safe to say we both have thoughts, right?
Yes, not just you.
So if you would like to hear our very special thoughts about James Gunn, me and Daniel, and our very special short discussion, see you there. John Favreau did a great Iron Man movie. I don't think I liked that second Iron Man movie. Does he deserve?
Yeah.
It is that kind of gatekeeping attitude that I see with these major properties. Is that consequence earned by these directors? I mean, I don't know. When you're talking about a beloved property, it inspires this sort of ire, I guess, in audiences that maybe it's partially earned, but some of it, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's an interesting phenomenon. Even though when I was little, I did read comics and things like that. But when it comes to superhero films, I don't feel like that there's a need for me to see them.
Right.
And so it's really fascinating to me that there's a whole contingency of people who are like gatekeepers for these filmmakers. Because to me, it has nothing to do with whether or not they're good filmmakers. It has more to do with the properties. Like you said, did this person earn this or that in their minds, in this the fandom mind? Is there anybody who would have earned this or that? Or is it just sacred grounds? I don't know.
Is the fact that that psychology with superhero movies is always in play part of why you find yourself kind of resisting them?
I think that's part of it. It's interesting that we're talking about Zack Snyder and that James Gunn is also a part of the conversation. Because I find myself liking Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And even the first Iron Man, I enjoyed. I don't know if it's the humor involved. I don't know if it's not taking it. It doesn't feel like it's taking itself too seriously.
Right.
But I think it's connected. There's a whole thing about superhero films where it's just taking itself way too seriously.
Okay. That's something that I want to come back to because I think that that might be central to specifically the Zack Snyder phenomenon or lack thereof. So Zack Snyder, freshman film, which is, of course, a remake of the George Romero classic, which is, I don't know if you would call it a sequel or a follow-up or whatever. George Romero, clearly the king of, and creator of essentially all things zombie.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. Zack Snyder came in. He decided to do his own take on it. Such an interesting choice for a freshman film. Zack Snyder, he did a handful of music videos, some commercials. This was his shot across the bow of, you know, I'm going to be a feature film director, and this is what I'm going to do. And he came out in full force.
I think he totally did.
There's no denying that. But Dawn of the Dead, some of our listeners probably haven't seen Dawn of the Dead. What are we going to say? What's Dawn of the Dead about?
Really, the film begins with Anna as kind of a central character. There's an infection, really her city, but really the world.
The world.
Zombies are created. She links up with a group of people where they go to a mall.
Right.
Honestly, like that is the film. What are they going to do next?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of basically the log line of the movie. What if you woke up one morning and everyone you knew was a zombie?
Yep.
You're off and running. Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be simpler. And none of these zombie classics from George Romero were anything particularly deep and intellectual. Anything. I don't know if you've seen the original, like, you know, Night of the Living Dead or any of that.
I wanted to rewatch the original Dawn of the Dead. I wasn't able to, but I saw it a long time ago.
Yeah. It has the cheese factor.
Oh, absolutely.
It has the sort of kitschy, in some ways, even so bad it's good kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was very interesting what Zack Snyder sort of did with it. So, but I am wondering, though, when was it that you first caught the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead?
So I saw in theaters, the trailer for this film was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things I remember so clearly about this movie.
Right.
And it made me want to go see it. I mean, I'd had a little bit of history with Dawn of the Dead, but that trailer, which is really like the first few minutes of the movie.
Sure.
Vivian, honey, are you okay?
Ah! officials have declared a state of emergency. Everybody they kill gets up and kills.
Well, yeah, what about for you?
You know, strangely enough, I actually saw Dawn of the Dead by accident. I had not planned on seeing it.
Wait, this film?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah. And this was probably 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was flipping around. I landed on Dawn of the Dead, probably on like Showtime or something mm-hmm. like that. I was drawn in. You know, I don't know what to
immediately.
Say.
Immediately.
Yeah. And it was, I want to say when I started watching it, it was fairly early, as I think everyone in the film was first arriving at the mall where most of the action takes place. And there was something about the editing, the camera work, mm-hmm. the use of color and the saturation and all that, and just sort of the intensity / intelligence / pulpiness, I guess, of it. You know, it made me feel like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna hang with this for maybe a couple more minutes. And then maybe 15 minutes, you know, and it just kept going until I had gotten to the end of the movie and I realized that I had been sucked into this movie.
Yeah.
And I had watched basically the whole thing with the exception of maybe the first scene or two. I don't know what to say. It grabbed me that mm-hmm. that first time out. And I'm not like a zombie genre guy, you
You're
know?
Not.
Well, not really, no. I mean, there's not, you know, it's been well done in some places and not as well done in others. I think even back in our Danny Boyle episode, we mentioned how we both have affection for 28 Days Later, yep. and which I would say exceeds Dawn of the Dead in terms of art and intelligence mm-hmm. and all that. But there was still something that was sort of charming about this movie. And I remember thinking, huh, this isn't this intellectually stirring thing, but it was sort of refreshing to watch a movie that succeeded in being exactly what it was trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
That was my assessment of it at the time, is this director, he knows what he wants, and he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
There was something sort of so casual and cool and entertaining about that. It was just sort of satisfying, and I didn't know another word for it at the time other than that was good. I enjoyed it.
So it's really interesting. So twice you've named, in reference to Snyder, but then also Romero, there aren't a lot of intellectual ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you're wrong. They being the filmmakers, aren't trying to make a statement or anything like that. But I can't help but think about the intellectual ideas. Like, it's really fascinating to me, this the zombie idea.
Yeah. It's a compelling thought, and it grabs hold of our cultural psyche.
It absolutely does. I think it's, and I do think, even with Romero and to the sequel, it's intentional. You have people who are undead consuming one another, and
yeah.
people end up at a mall, Crossroads Mall, even if it's on the nose, right?
Like, sure.
There's still something about, how are we being consumed?
Yeah.
Or even what are we consuming?
They're at this hub of consumerism.
Oh, of course, right.
As it is.
There's something there.
Yeah.
When you take this idea of the world coming to an end, it reveals things about people in a way that I do think is, like, I can't help but deal with
right.
and consider. And I think that's actually true of both Dawn of the Dead, but I think Zack Snyder does it intentionally in this film.
Yeah. Zombie films, for some reason, I don't know what it is about the zombie genre, zombie films very rarely end happily, you
right.
know? I mean, even in horror films, like usually at some point, you know, even if there's like sort of a raised eyebrow or something like that, or like a little hint of the killer may still be out there, at least there's some sort of victory or something. Zombie films, it's very interesting. Now, I'm not saying this is true with all zombie films, but with a lot of the ones that I've seen, it's just sort of assumed from the outset, the world is screwed. And this is it.
Yeah.
It's just a question of how long can you hang
exactly.
on.
Exactly. You can't, there's no coming back from it.
Yeah. Now, what is it about zombie films that we feel comfortable embracing just sort of the nihilism of this whole idea?
Yeah. I don't know. But there's so much nihilism in the zombie culture because you not only have people making statements when they are doing something with zombies, but then also you can't trust the people around you.
Yeah.
Or at least that's in jeopardy and in question. And that's extremely nihilistic.
Yeah, it almost seems like with other types of, even like I said, horror movies or disaster movies or something, there is this sort of love can overcome kind of thing. But with zombies, the lesson more tends to be enjoy what you have because we're all worm food eventually or something like
right.
that. You know, it's this overwhelming force that it's kind of pointless to fight against. And again, there's clearly lots of exceptions to this. But in my opinion, the very best zombie movies tend to go down that path, which is kind of a courageous path for a movie to go down.
Yeah, make the best of what you have.
And you have to wonder, like, what was it about the zombie genre that appealed to Zack Snyder? Now, I haven't watched in its entirety the original Dawn of the Dead. But in terms of effects and editing and modern polish and all this kind of stuff, I mean, it's not really a comparison.
No.
You know, the old one is basically, I mean, you know, it's a laugh to what Zack Snyder's doing. But there was this sort of level of homage. Whenever there would be a moment of, oh, wow, this is really serious, Zack Snyder almost felt like he would be sort of peeping his head out and saying, don't take this too seriously, though. I want this to still be fun, which is funny when you're talking about a story of this, you know, this gruesome, of this much consequence. I just get the feeling throughout all of Dawn of the Dead, above all, this should be fun, which is weird when you're talking about something, you know, about people consuming each other and death and blood and, you know, all these gruesome things. I still think the movie's fun. And, you know, there's a side of it where you're like, well, what does that say about me? I don't know, Daniel. Is that crazy? It's a fun movie.
Yeah, well, what it does, if you've seen horror films and you've seen zombie movies, you know what's coming.
Right.
Yet, because of the filmmaking, it's a lot of fun to let yourself feel surprised.
Yeah, you allow yourself that latitude.
You do. Like, I don't know how else to put it, but like a good example is when like a new group comes to the mall,
right?
And you see these two people who've been bit
clearly.
Yeah, and you already know at this point where that goes.
The obese woman.
Yes.
There's no question that she's minutes away from being a zombie.
Yeah, she's infected. It's going to happen.
Guys, do you want to move into the other room?
Holy shit!
And yet, it's really fascinating how Snyder does that and how he pulls you through the perspective of another character and the compassion and all that stuff. I think it's really well done.
Yeah.
I'm going to see myself through Anna's eyes.
Right.
And even feel the compassion that Anna would feel. Even though I know she's going to turn into a zombie and I know that she's going to lunge after somebody, somebody's going to have to do something to her head if they're going to stop her.
Yeah.
You already know all these things, but you allow yourself to have fun.
The rules are pre-built.
Oh, yeah.
It has that sort of yell at the screen quality. Turn around. Can't you just, don't shine your flashlight over there. You're yelling at the screen the whole time because you know what you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if the protagonists had the intuition that you did, the movie wouldn't be any fun.
Right.
You kind of roll with it. Dawn of the Dead, to me, is actually quite an achievement. Mm. Just in terms of tonally, aesthetically, pacing, and you know all that stuff. It kind of fires on a lot of cylinders all at once. I don't know, quite frankly, even though it's a very simple premise, there's still a lot of balls in the air that all need to be juggled. I think Zack Snyder actually did a great job.
You know, I think when horror is done well, and I actually really like horror films, and it does what you just described. It treads this line between you are both vulnerable as the characters you're watching and smarter than them. And somehow good horror allows you to kind of go back and forth between those where you feel superior and yet you feel like you're
in it.
Yeah, you're in it. And I guess what that does is it allows you to feel what it could be like to be in that position, yet know always, at least my life isn't as bad as that.
Right.
And I do think that Dawn of the Dead, in its best moments, and I think that it falters in some way.
Sure.
But in its best moments, you feel that.
Yeah.
What would it be like to be in this situation? And, oh my gosh, you're so dumb. Don't do that. I know what's going to happen to you. Right. There's something really wonderful about that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? What I
said? Yeah. You know what? I think it does, because I think it requires a level of personal removal, but simultaneous investment in the situation. How many comics and memes and stuff have we seen on the internet about what are you going to do when the zombie apocalypse comes? Because it's a sort of a, I hate to say intellectual, but it's a fun little intellectual exercise to do. Okay, well, what would I do if we were in a completely hopeless situation of horror and death? You know, everyone's screwed and all this kind of stuff. How long would I last? And what? And you know, and you just sort of. So at my workplace, we have a thing that we do. And I call it Battle Royale.
Okay.
So every new group that comes in over the last 15 years, we all have the Battle Royale discussion, which is all the doors are locked. Everyone gets an email. And on the email, it says only one person's allowed to leave. And it's just sort of this fun thing to talk about. Who would last the longest? Who would be the first to go? And I realize this is kind of a macabre thing to talk about.
Sounds
at work.
Great.
But it's super fun. And it's actually kind of a way when there's a new hire for us all to kind of start talking and bring the new person mm-hmm. in and stuff like that. It's just become the sort of tradition as we all have the battle
royale discussion.
It's
like imaginative hazing.
Exactly. But it becomes this sort of intellectual exercise. Well, you know what I would do is I would set up camp over at the kitchen area because that way I have access to water and stuff like that. And I would use a stapler to gouge everybody in the neck. And you know,
stapler.
Exactly. But these are the kind of discussions that you have. There's not a week that goes by at our studio where Battle Royale doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think zombies in our culture yeah. occupy a similar space. We all, it's something that, it's just the thing that sort of tickles our brains a little bit. Even though, yeah, it's gross and it's macabre and all that kind of, it's something that we sort of just like to think about. Like, what would I do? What kind of person am I? What kind of things would I be willing to sacrifice? What kinds of horrible shit would I be willing to take part in? There's something really, really specific that you're not going to get in a mummy story or a werewolf story. There's something about zombies that we can't help but put ourselves in that sort of situation and in that sort of mindset. It's pulpy and it's kind of innocent, but it's also super dark and stuff. It's like the crossroads of all these different things. It does sort of make us ask what line we're willing to draw in our own humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Is that too much?
No, it absolutely does. I think 28 Days Later was what, 2002? Dawn of the Dead, 2004.
Right.
Walking Dead Phenomenon, 2010. I mean, that's not a lot of time to have like some of these major zombie
yeah.
movements happen with other things in between. I know there are other things in between. What is that tapping into?
Yeah.
Because every zombie movie has to include what are people willing to do to one another. When you're surrounded by those who won't die, what are you even willing to do to those who are living? I mean, that becomes one of the major questions in every zombie film. And so to me, that's attached to fear. If you think about it, I mean, if I'm just using 28 Days Later as a marker in time, 2002 to the present, I just wonder if you could sort of trace our culture, who we are, what's been happening in the world.
Right.
If somehow the zombie genre is tapping into this thing
yeah.
that we feel all the time and we might be actually living in response to and we're not even aware of it.
Hmm. You know, what's the whole reason that the Godzilla genre was made up?
Yeah.
It was a Japanese response to the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
There's this big irradiated creature that's stomping on towns and killing. I mean, you know, it's, when you look at it in the historical context right. of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Godzilla grew out of that mania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be too hard to draw parallels between that kind of a situation and what are we saying about ourselves through mm-hmm. zombies. This is hard for me because, you know, it's tough to take such a fun movie that I think actually resists intellectual criticism like Dawn of the Dead.
So you think the film itself resists intellectual criticism?
That's my feeling. And I'm totally willing to concede that I'm wrong.
Okay, so here's one place in the film. Might be my favorite moment in the movie.
Mm.
It's the montage sequence.
I love the montages. I was going to say the same thing. Easily my favorite sequences or montages.
Maybe my argument against the film resisting intellectual criticism. After a certain period of time, even given all the shit that's happening around them,
yeah.
people are who they are.
Yeah. They're going to find reasons to celebrate and reasons to fight and reasons to do everything that they do.
Yeah.
Even if you're in a mall
yep.
where the undead are converging on you, if you're in that mall long enough.
All the mundane things of life.
Yeah.
You're eating dinner. You're having sex. Dating another human being.
Sure.
I can't help but think that is intentional.
Yeah. Like,
and that is attempting to say something.
Yeah.
That the world, when it's gone to hell and when fear pervades it, it distills everything else. Who you think you are, you will discover it.
Yeah.
In those moments when it seems like all is gone.
Yeah. In what's easily my favorite moment of the movie, the song, Down With The Sickness. But what's so beautiful is you get this sort of Robert Goulet version mm-hmm. of this song, which is just so big and brassy and celebratory almost, on top of these people essentially finding their mundane lives again, mm-hmm. you know?
You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your head.
It works on about 30 different levels. And it's just, honestly, that was the moment that I loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that it's Zack Snyder saying, have fun with this movie. That's what it's there for. I'm gift wrapping it for you so that you can have whatever experience you want to have with it. It's all just part of this people rediscovering their humanity. And there's such a joy mm-hmm. in it, even though every so often the camera is sure to pan down. And every time it does, you see there down on the street, there's 10, there's 20, there's 200, there's 500 zombie idiots just strolling around wanting to eat brains and mm-hmm. all that. And you can't help it. You're just like, oh, I'm sucked in by that. And I just, every time I've seen the movie, I've just thought, holy cow, Zack Snyder, what confidence mm-hmm. you must have had in order to take yourself so not seriously to give us these kinds of moments. And especially given some of the later things that Zack Snyder did, I think it was tough for him to say, no, I'm going to intentionally resist taking myself and taking my story too seriously. And I think one of the most perfect examples of that is the way that he uses his color palette in the movie.
I mean, it's a common theme in his work.
Color palette.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And what I think is so interesting is you see his work in like Justice League and Batman versus Superman and stuff, which is just this extremely desaturated treatment. Yeah. And this is about poppy comic book mm-hmm. superheroes. Whereas Dawn of the Dead, which is about, you know, on the surface at least, the depths that people will go to and mortality and all that. And the color palette is treated very saturated and mm-hmm. very poppy and very high contrast and all this. And just almost there's a joy in the color of Dawn of the Dead. And to me, that sort of yin and yang, I don't know. It kind of works for me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I connected the colors to the film as much as I probably should have. I mean, I think as you're talking, like I can see that. And I wonder if that's the case because I allow my impression of Zack Snyder to be influenced by his later work, which is defined more by
comic books.
Yeah, comic books and darkness in the visual style.
Yeah. A lot of Zack Snyder's color choices, and I think this is, you know, once we're, you know, we're talking about what are things that are consistent in Zack Snyder's work, that was the first thing that stood out to me was he has a counterintuitive treatment of color.
Like all throughout.
I think so, because yeah, I think right. as his career progresses, he's dealing with more poppy properties, and yet the color is drained away, whereas, you know, with what he began with was this very dark subject matter, and it's loaded with color. And I hate to say something as simple as, like, he keeps draining the color out. That's not entirely true. He has a very intentional use of color, but he's definitely, when you think now of what's a modern Zack Snyder movie, you think of something that's, quite frankly, very gray.
And right, that's what I think of.
And in which the colors that are left in there are either desaturated, or if there are saturated moments, they're chosen very specifically and very sparingly, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's right. He's really good with the camera.
Yeah.
And how he reveals things. And I think my favorite parts with the camera, they're from Anna's perspective. He knows how to see with her. And the camera's kind of seeing from her perspective. And not just in the sense of like it's revealing things as she's seeing them. I just mean like where her head is at, what she might be taking in from another character or in a moment, you know, especially at the beginning. Because the camera becomes more of an omniscient.
An objective camera.
Yes, it becomes more of an objective camera as the film kind of progresses. I just felt like that was, it was good work.
Yeah, any good horror director's one of the main tools in their arsenal is going to have to be the use of POV.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting with Zack Snyder because I was thinking about this question. What are things that we see in the freshman film of this director that we see later? I found it kind of remarkable, actually, how little was in common.
Thank you. Because, I feel that that's true.
Yeah. You know, going right in even to his sophomore film, which is 300, right?
Yeah.
Going right into 300, it seemed like Zack Snyder had this pretty profound paradigm shift that he's not really deviated much from ever since 300. Dawn of the Dead, I think, is actually Zack Snyder's outlier.
Best, in my opinion.
I think you're right. There was something that happened with Zack Snyder in between Dawn of the Dead and 300. Is it impolite to say he kind of got high on his own bullshit? He decided to start taking himself so incredibly seriously to the point where I think, and this is sort of the thing that Zack Snyder's known for, is these stories, essentially these films that are just super, super overwrought.
Mm.
And you might say, well, that's the problem with the superhero films, is they're too cynical. I don't agree with that. I think they're the opposite of cynical, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. I think his superhero films are very, for lack of a better word, they're kind of self-satisfied.
Yeah.
Whereas back in Dawn of the Dead, I don't know, there was almost sort of this childlike hunger to try something new and to show us something maybe not necessarily profound, but maybe, I don't know.
It's interesting because I think we think similar things about Dawn of the Dead, but for different reasons. Like I never would have thought about it in the context of, oh, he's taking himself less seriously here in Dawn of the Dead and more seriously in his superhero films.
You would say the other.
Like, I don't know if I would say that Dawn of the Dead is showing Zack Snyder as not taking himself seriously, but I would say that of the other, like, I would say, yeah, of course, in the other films. One thing I see, though, there's so much built-in constraint in Dawn of the Dead that he completely foregoes in all of his other films.
Yeah.
Probably budget related. It feels so visceral, and in some ways it feels more real.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the his going from a one zombie to five zombies to 30 to 500, it feels very real because he's shown me something real.
Right.
When I've moved into his other films, and quite honestly, I didn't make it through Justice League.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is like, you're not really showing me anything real.
Yeah.
And that's probably a little bit unfair and dismissive, but I do want to say this as a broad statement across superhero movies.
Yeah.
I just don't find a lot to relate to.
Sure.
And especially when something feels like a facade as an aesthetic.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to do.
I was trying to pinpoint what exactly is wrong with this comic book movies. I kept coming back to a few different basic truths about Zack Snyder's approach to these comic book properties, to these pop properties that he's in charge of. I feel like I hear some of the same criticisms all the time of Zack Snyder. And when I hear them, I don't know that they resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I hear is he sucked the fun out of superheroes. They're all very dour and very serious. Why does the DC universe need to be so dark? You know, dark doesn't bother me. Christopher Nolan's Batman, that was dark, you know? Right. And I think it was actually good. What's good about Christopher Nolan's Batman that I don't like about Zack Snyder's Batman? And that's actually a really, really hard thing to locate. We've already talked about the fact that I think Zack Snyder takes himself very seriously. You know, there's this whole thought that superheroes are our modern mythology. Superheroes are to our culture what Zeus and Jupiter and, you know, whatever, Mars and Aries and all this stuff was to cultures from a couple thousand years ago. There's some maybe merit to that idea, I guess. I mean, you know, we certainly, in the same way that some of these ancient cultures would gather around to tell each other the stories of these gods, we gather in theaters and, you know, we shell out insane amounts of money to have stories told to us about superheroes. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to completely dismiss that. To me, even that's a little bit overwrought, but Zack Snyder buys that idea so hook, line, and sinker. He has, in a certain degree, forgotten a little bit of the, I think, what's kind of a necessary cynicism when it comes to some of these properties. You know, back in our Christopher Nolan episode, we talked about he's all in with Batman.
Oh, yeah.
He buys the Batman idea, and he makes us buy the Batman idea. I think Zack Snyder also buys the Batman idea, but there's an element of it that's missing. Maybe it's Christopher Nolan certainly brought an intellectualism to that property that I don't think, quite frankly, Zack Snyder has. There's also a side of it where it's taken so uber seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching Batman versus Superman. There's this moment. Superman is just essentially levitating over the town as if he's the god. And, you know, it's this sort of club you over the head metaphor that, you know, Zack Snyder's kind of known for at this point. He's backlit and it's just the silhouette of this cape flapping, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I just thought, picture that kind of a moment in Dawn of the Dead.
You know, right.
The movie doesn't work because it's Zack Snyder a little bit too high on his own bullshit. I realize superheroes, it's a whole other thing. Who's to say what works and what doesn't work in a superhero film or something? But I thought if you could just give us a little bit of that, give us a little bit more of that Goulier down with the sickness montage and a little bit less of over orchestrated and, you know, whatever, just this godlike mythology of essentially these guys that are in tights beating each other up and all that. Can you apply just a little bit more of that restraint and that cynicism to what you're doing now? I think you'd be far more successful, but I think he's gone too far and he can't really do it anymore. I don't know. What is that?
This is going to be a really weird connection, but it brings me to Wes Anderson. And I think here's why. So when I feel like I'm watching a movie and something is happening in which I'm expected to feel a certain way and I don't feel it, I'm annoyed by that.
Yeah, it inspires this kind of petulance.
Yes, but see, I never think I'm wrong. I can see that you tried to do something and it didn't work.
Lens flare.
Yeah, lens flare. What's really interesting about Wes Anderson is he creates this facade in which I'm not connected in terms of it feels like there's distance from the costumes to the just to the how the whole thing works. But as a result of that, I don't feel like I'm being pulled into something or I'm being manipulated. So when the emotion happens and I'm there, like I just feel like it worked. It connected to me. With Zack Snyder, not only is there the disconnection of emotion, oh, I'm not feeling as strongly about this as you are, Zack Snyder, Batman is, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's like almost two problems there. You tried really hard, I can't get there, and so therefore we're just not connected.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that connection works, but I'm trying to make sense of what you said because I think it's right. Like, how does it work in something like a Wes Anderson movie where I feel like I'm obviously, like, this is a complete facade, and yet it feels so real?
Yeah. Zack Snyder is uber consumed with the facade and the shiny exterior and all that. Rewatching in recent days some of his comic book superhero films, and this is another thing that Zack Snyder is sort of known for now, he forces his lead actors to absolutely destroy themselves in order to be, like, these incredibly, like, superhuman the things that he put his 300 cast through.
Oh, yeah.
Just in order to have these just absolutely insane physiques. And I think that's one of the things that you've come to expect out of a Zack Snyder movie. He puts his cast on these ridiculous diets and these workout regimes and maybe even past the point of what's actually healthy.
We always use a stopwatch to intensify the movements. And it's also a way to create a hierarchy within the group. They come in looking a little bit soft, they get smashed. They come into the gym and they look smooth. Veins that were popping out before are not popping out now. They get smashed.
They genuinely look like something that you would only see a drawing of or something. I mean, these...
Or me.
Or Daniel, you know. They're all longed out, as I like to say.
That is what they say about me.
And I don't think he was doing, I mean, clearly he wasn't doing that in Dawn of the Dead. Maybe a little bit, I don't know. I mean, I everyone in there clearly had a nice physique, but, you know, this is nothing compared to 300 or Henry Cavill and
right.
In any of his Superman roles or anything. I don't know. And to me, what's sort of interesting about that, I take it back to like Michael Bay, Kate Beckinsale, lose some weight.
That's interesting. Yeah, right.
It's almost like he has the same thing going on, but with men.
With dudes, yeah.
No, that's not completely true because he has quite a few demands from his female characters as well.
Have you seen Zack Snyder? He's in great shape.
Oh, he's built, man. That is happening.
That's all there.
Yeah.
I mean, you see pictures of him on set directing and... Like, how are arms like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
And here's the thing. There's another thing that I noticed, and I think this was true certainly back in Dawn of the Dead. He's actually, in terms of a visual storyteller, he's very effective. And in fact, I remember remarking to a friend years ago about Zack Snyder, who's a big fan of Zack Snyder. I feel like Zack Snyder would have made a better DP than a director.
What? Wait, you have to explain this.
I think his camera work and his lighting and the dynamics of his compositions are actually really great.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think that's actually true in really every film. His visual storytelling and the attention to detail he has with the compositions and the camera movement and all that, it's actually really, really solid. I'm going to go so far as to say, take any scene from any Zack Snyder movie, in my opinion, I don't know that he makes bad scenes.
Hmm.
The issue is the concert of all these scenes.
Yeah.
It's not that he's a bad storyteller. It's that he's telling mediocre stories. And I was really like sort of trying to drill down into like, what is it about Watchmen? That's just, I feel like this should be good, but yeah. It's only okay.
No, I think that's true.
What is that? You know, and I would take any given scene from Watchmen or something like that, or even 300 or something, and I'd be like, you know, that's good. That's a good scene. That's really well executed. That's really well thought out. Why is it that the whole movie sort of leaves me kind of cold, though?
Dog carcass in alley this morning. Tire tread on stomach. This city's afraid of me. I've seen its true face. The streets are extended gutters, and the gutters are full of blood.
There's never really a moment when I'm just like, oh, that's cool, because that ties into that. And oh, I never get that with a Zack Snyder movie. It's just like the whole doesn't add up to more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. You know?
And I feel like the only movie that he's ever made where that wasn't really true is actually Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. It's so fascinating because, like, well, it has me wondering, does he then just assume by nature of the material that it's going to carry weight that he doesn't necessarily have to do much with?
Right. There's a 75-80 year history behind Superman, and so it's got this built-in sort of cachet and profoundness to it that,
yes, that you don't have to work with or kind of tune
or add to,
right? Whereas it can be argued that if you see 1978 George Romero's Dawn of the Dead,
you can add a lot to that.
Yeah, it's a pretty bitchin' idea that you can update in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's something there.
It's so hard for me to put my finger on what's wrong with Zack Snyder movies. I know there is something wrong because I know I leave them kind of feeling like, eh. But I don't know why. And I keep going back and back and back to it. I remember in Man of Steel, you know, the whole opening sequence that takes place on Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a lot of people complained about it. We all know the story of Jor-El and Lara and how they put, you know, Kal-El in the rocket ship and send him off as the planet was blowing up. And you're changing details of that don't need to be changed. And what's the... And I remember seeing it and going, well, I have no problem with that. He actually made a really... I mean, in all honesty, the Krypton sequence I thought was kind of the coolest thing that happened in that whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Can you see the Codex?
It's just beneath the central hub, sir. But I'm compelled to warn you. Breaching the Genesis Chamber is a Class B crime, punishable...
Nobody cares anymore, Kelex. The world is about to come to an end.
So I have no issue with screwing with the Superman idea. I think the Superman idea... And you already know this about me, Daniel. I love Superman.
Yeah, you love him.
I think he's great. I love Superman. I don't care what Jeff Jensen or anyone else says. He's a great character.
Yeah, he's perfect. He's beautiful. So strong. Can fly.
He's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Clearly, that is what he's supposed to be.
But I have no issue with how far can you bend the Superman idea before it breaks in half. I'm totally cool with people testing that out. You know, I don't know how far can we bend that? Because in my opinion, Superman is such a great idea that it's malleable.
Mm-hmm.
Same with any of these superhero properties. Yeah, mess with it. Try things that no one else has tried before. You know, see how far you can take that. To me, though, if you're going to do that, you have to give up a little bit of this reminding your audience constantly of the importance of what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're going to remind us of something, remind us of the fact that you're an artist and you're trying something and you don't know. Then I feel like we're kind of more on a plane where I'm willing to check out your ideas and all that. But it just seems like every frame of every contemporary Zack Snyder film is this reminder of the towering importance of what he's doing. 300 was originally a graphic novel by Frank Miller. Watchmen. Beloved graphic novel by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. He has no hesitation in taking these sorts of things on. You know, I think we talked about back in our Terry Gilliam episode, Terry Gilliam was originally going to be the Watchmen director. Eventually, Terry Gilliam said, this story's too big and complex to make into a feature film. It's not really going to work. And Zack Snyder, you know, held his finger in the air and said, we'll see about that. And he filmed the super mediocre Watchmen movie.
Yeah, right.
Which was ultra true to the actually, I don't know if you've ever read Watchmen.
I have, yeah.
Incredibly true to the original comic. And in a way, that was kind of what the downfall was. 300, which is actually a book that I love. I've never read 300's
that.
Great. And I'm going to go so far as to say the graphic novel is much better than the movie. Very interesting, very historical, in a lot of ways, very intellectual, which is something Frank Miller doesn't typically do very well. There's something about the spirit of each one of these properties, whether it's taking the intellectualism and philosophical edge to Watchmen and essentially boiling it down a little too much into muscle-bound people beating on each other and trying to wedge in a few philosophical lines and ideas, or even 300, you know, having these huge overwrought speeches and being screamed out by these muscular guys. And by the way, if you look at the original graphic novel of 300, there's a lot of ugly people in this graphic novel.
Yeah. Snyder didn't get the memo.
No, everyone is oiled up and glistening, and you know, they look like they can all bench 700 pounds.
Oh yeah.
But that's so front and center. The sheen that's all on everything feels like it's taken the place of the grit and the content of it. I feel like there's very little below the skin.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I go back to the trailers again. And yeah. Why do I think the Dawn of the Dead trailer is so interesting, and why I can see through the bullshit of the Man of Steel trailer? Dawn of the Dead trailer, I think, wow, This is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And zombies. I'm interested in the thought experiment that zombies allows.
Who doesn't like zombies?
No. Man of Steel.
Yeah.
You're shitting me if you think you can make a Terrence Malick superhero film. Hands in fields of hay.
Very overwrought.
Already, I'm done.
Yeah.
I know both what you're trying to do, and given the content, you're just not going to be able to pull it off.
Guys in those outfits don't belong in that film.
Yeah, and maybe that's unfair, but I also think, like, why do you have to... Why? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah.
Why that material in that way?
My opinion, the real hero of Dawn of the Dead is Niven Howie. Editor. Daniel, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
It's a gorgeously edited movie. I mean, yeah. this is a surgically edited movie. Not sure if you knew the same editor as Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
No, why would I know that? That's incredible.
But another film that you can point to as an incredibly beautifully edited film.
Yeah, it's true.
Experimental, artistically done, intentionally done. And I had actually never even heard of this editor until I watched it in preparation for this. Actually, a really terrific resume of edited films. A lot of action films and that kind of thing. But such a great editorial job, particularly on this movie. And I have to tell you, in a movie filled with great edited moments, especially with something like this, where you edit some of these shots a frame or two too early or a frame or two too late, and the illusion's broken. What's partly so beautiful about how it's edited, there's that thing that you have to do in zombie movies because it doesn't work any other way. You're constantly doing things like, did he get bit? I think he got bit. He may not have, though. Wait, did he get bit? I think he got bit. And you're doing that the whole time. If it's not a deftly edited piece, you're not doing that. But these edits are so tight and so intentional, you're constantly doing all this guesswork about who's what and who's infected and who's not infected. And it's just great. Best, though, has to be what in most movies is a throwaway, and that's the credit sequence.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
We can. That's incredible. You're right.
What a beautiful credit sequence.
Yes.
And what, you know, what do they call it in a lot of these movies? You know, the stinger. The after the movie's done, you know, we're going to do. And to me, it's one of the best and actually most essential moments of the film.
It is. You're right.
It's Zack Snyder closing the door on how seriously should we be taking this movie?
Yes.
Are we really going to do the thing where we're going to end the story with the dandelion of hope at the end that they found the special island? Zack Snyder says, you know what? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. This hope that everyone's been talking about, that's just another island that's been overrun by zombies. And we're going to make not a joke, but kind of a joke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of it. But the editing of that final sequence is so experimental. It's an experiment in spare minimalism. He gives you sometimes half a second of moments that tell hours of story in a half second, you know, where you hear a part of a line or something like that, and quick, quick, with these little edits.
Looks like there's anyone there.
Nicole, what is it?
Shit! Stay behind me!
You know, on top of this music soundtrack, which is all just completely perfect. I don't know, Dan, I mean, it was, if I didn't already love the movie, seeing the credit sequence, which again is supposed to be a throwaway, it was just so gorgeously done.
It does an interesting thing. You think, oh, okay, this love possibility is done, it's ended.
Right.
It goes to black.
Between Anna and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made the sacrifice so that she could survive right. and thrive.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful, right? And then it turns into something mm-hmm. different.
She's just as screwed as she was at the from the first yeah, scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to stay here.
Wait, you can't. Not you, please.
Sorry, Anna.
I can help you.
No, you can't. You can help them. Stay on the boat.
I can help you.
It's okay. It's gonna be all right.
No. It won't.
It will.
And I think that there's a moment in the movie, and it's probably when they're talking about the island, and you even think, like, is there any place in the world at this point that's safe?
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget it.
Yeah.
And then you want to believe it.
Their hope becomes your hope.
Oh, yeah. And then you can't.
And then you can't. And then they get there and it's just like, it's almost a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. The cynic in me loves the cynicism of that.
Mm-hmm.
Our merry band getting to the island and discovering that they're just as screwed as they ever were. And the zombies are going to come out and get them either way. I mean, to me, it's kind of the funnest thing that happens in the movie. It's terrible, but it's true.
No, but one of the beautiful things about it is, like, you've been duped the whole time into thinking that these are the last few.
Yeah.
That they have discovered an idea of getting to a place where they will be the only ones who are there.
Surely you're not going to pull out this rug on me.
Yes. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, you have to assume that somebody's already tried what they've tried.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I'm grateful for the Dawn of the Dead, I am so damn grateful for Sarah Pauley.
Yeah, she's great.
She's incredible. And I love her films.
Yeah, Go.
Yeah, I love when she started directing. I love Away From Her so much.
Never saw that.
Dude, so Sarah Pauley makes some heavy films.
Really?
It's about a relationship between people in which one person is afflicted with Alzheimer's or dementia and how that works.
Wow, yeah.
But I love her documentary called Stories We Tell.
I feel like I've heard of these, but I haven't seen them.
That, I think, is such an amazing movie. And I wouldn't have known of Sarah Pauley if I didn't see Dawn of the Dead. And these films were made afterward, but... Yeah. But I'm somehow grateful. I'm assuming that Dawn of the Dead helped her become a filmmaker that yeah. I really appreciate.
Well, you know what I like about what she does in this film? She has kind of a hard task. We're being asked to kind of take this character seriously, who's a de facto lead,
mm-hmm.
a de facto audience stand-in. And we're supposed to buy that she has just narrowly escaped getting eaten by her husband.
Right.
In order to join this small group of survivors. And in the course of a handful of weeks that she's there, she's moved on to the point to where she's fallen in love with this whole other guy yeah. and all that. I mean, you know, it's so like cheese ball on paper, but she kind of makes us buy it,
yeah.
you know? And... But not at a level where it's so like we're so totally invested, but I think at the level that Zack Snyder was hoping for, where it's just like, okay, that's the kind of thing that would happen here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, I would say that the only movie that Zack Snyder has done that kind of attempts the level that Dawn of the Dead works at is actually Sucker Punch.
Really?
I don't know. Have you seen Sucker Punch?
No.
I don't think it succeeds.
Okay.
Put it that way. But I see in Sucker Punch, Zack Snyder trying to be like, I want to tell another one of these weird, crazy, pulpy, balls out stories
okay.
that I don't want you to take too seriously. I'm not going to do the self-important Man of Steel thing, mm-hmm. Watchmen thing. Sucker Punch for me was, it veered so far into the realm of, let's just figure out an excuse to have sexy hot women run around with guns and,
really?
You know, and elaborate effects and all
okay.
that.
Okay. Just,
for me, it was like, okay, well, you're going so far in that direction that you're actually losing my investment. I appreciated the attempt to a certain degree, though. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to recommend Sucker Punch, mm-hmm. but I don't know, though. I just don't think Zack Snyder's made it back to the magic that he had in that first outing, though.
No, I agree. I mean, there's something about the movie that feels like it matches what it's attempting to do.
Right.
The others, they don't.
Right. So, Daniel, let me ask you. Superhero director, DC Universe arbiter, Zack Snyder, first film, Dawn of the Dead, and I don't want to say this up front, I haven't seen every Zack Snyder movie.
Neither have I.
To be honest, I think the only one I haven't seen is his animated owl movie.
Legends of the Guardians?
Something of Gahul or something like that.
I don't even know. But yeah owls.
Owls. Owls the movie.
Yeah. Which I didn't actually know he directed until I was doing some research for this.
Which may be a fine movie. I just haven't seen it. So Dawn of the Dead, and I feel like I already know where this conversation is kind of aiming. What do you think? Where does Dawn of the Dead fit in all of Zack Snyder's stuff?
It's the one I like the most of his. And it's hard for me to locate the others because I'm not a big Zack Snyder fan.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in this movie I can appreciate.
Yeah.
I mean, for you?
Same. I mean, it's Dawn of the Dead is easily the best thing Zack Snyder's ever done. And I say that without hesitation. So rare to find a movie that in every way you can possibly conceive is exactly what the movie is trying to be. And particularly with Zack Snyder, I think this is the only movie he's ever done that's exactly what it's trying to be, which I have a lot of appreciation for. I'm that guy. I make lists.
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, my favorite this of the decade and that of the year and all that kind of stuff. And a few years back, I'll admit it, I made a list what I feel are the most underrated / underappreciated films of the 21st century. In the dead middle of that list, Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that. Very underappreciated film. I think the right people were impressed by it, and mm-hmm. I think that's why he has the career he has. In fact, when I heard about 300 and even Watchmen, I was like, oh, those are going to be great. Dawn of the Dead guy.
Right.
Walked out of the theater in both of those like, eh. And it took actually several films for me to realize what an outlier Dawn of the Dead was. By the way, that list that I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, right next to Pain and Gain, actually.
Oh.
Very underrated film by a director that I would consider to be a iffy director.
Oh, completely. Michael Bay.
I think both these guys made exactly one phenomenal film. Zack Snyder's happens to be his freshman film. Confession. I actually do own his DC Comics films on like DVD.
That's so kind.
I know, it really is, because there is a part of it where I feel like visually and from a storytelling perspective, and the fact that, yeah, I'm the goober who loves Superman and Batman, whatever. Yes, I have those movies and I hate myself for having them, but I do.
You don't hate yourself.
Well, not hate, but.
So here's what I want to do though.
Go ahead.
This is for everybody to hear. I'm gonna call you to the carpet. We touched a little bit on superhero films in this conversation, but given the conversation around Zack Snyder, I think we kind of came to a similar place.
Yeah.
We need to go head to head.
On superheroes.
On some superhero stuff.
Yeah. Superheroes, pro or con.
Yeah.
I don't think this episode is the place for it. I think we need a whole other episode.
Oh, no.
Just discuss superheroes.
And I think that's what I'm naming. Yeah. I don't want people to think that we settled anything.
It would be easy for people, I think, to listen to this podcast and assume that we basically are of the same mind of about almost everything.
And that's why I'm calling you to the carpet on this on this superhero shit, because like, I want to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. So, okay, let's put a pin in that future episode.
All right.
Daniel versus Jeremy, superheroes, yay or nay, because I don't mind saying it. I'm a big superhero guy.
So here's my question. I have to watch them.
You got it. Well, I mean, what are you going to watch?
Kidding.
All of them? For heaven's sakes.
Well, if we're going to talk about it, I have to watch all of them.
But you've got...
That's a lot of watching.
I don't even plan on watching all of them.
You've already watched them all.
Well, I've watched quite a few. What are you talking about? Just DC? Or are you talking about all
no,
superhero
I think
movies?
I have to figure myself out on this. I need to watch
Jessica Alba, Fantastic Four. I mean, how deep are we going?
We need to talk about this.
Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're gonna make a list.
Because there's some terrible superhero movies, man.
Okay. It's got to happen.
It is a worthy genre.
Okay.
All right, so Daniel, what are we saying?
We're saying you should watch Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, so the completest, this shouldn't even be part of the discussion.
Yeah, you should watch it because I think it is a worthy zombie film.
Yeah.
I think it's a worthy horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you can let yourself be taken up in it, yeah. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm in complete agreement. If you don't want to watch a zombie movie, no, you're not going to like it. Because it is a straight-up zombie movie.
That's what it is.
If you know in advance, though, that you're kind of open to that kind of thing... Zombies, maybe, or something that you're...
You want to dabble in a little?
Yeah, you know, tickle your little frontal lobes there.
With the zombie?
Yeah. I mean, is it the greatest zombie movie of all time? I don't know. I personally like 28 Days Later a lot. I think it's up there, though. I think this is a great freaking movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, absolutely. No, not for completists.
Watch it.
Go for it. watch it today. So yeah, I mean, you know, Daniel, surprise to exactly no one at this point, but we agree, Dawn of the Dead, great film. And also, I'm going to go so far as to say a great ender for our summer series of blockbuster directors. I'm thrilled about the fact that people who might be anti-Zack Snyder reconsider, at least as far as his freshman film goes.
I think that's right. You need to watch it. You should. So thanks for listening to this episode. You can get a hold of us. Find us on Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at freshman15film@gmail.com. That's freshman15film@gmail.com. We'd also love it if you could take a moment, find us on iTunes, and rate us. It helps people learn about our podcast when they're searching for film podcasts. So we'd love it if you were able to do that.
And if you're the type of person who loves films, not just films, classic films, great directors, some of the most important films of all time, particularly when we're thinking about things like the Criterion Collection, premium, important to the history of films. Filmstruck is the streaming service I think Daniel thinks, we both think, is the one for you. Terrific directors, terrific films, some of which are films that should absolutely be in your library already. But if they're not, if you're looking for an affordable way to look at some of the most essential films of all time, I quite frankly can't think of a better way or more affordable way for you to enjoy this kind of material. So consider a subscription to Filmstruck. Well, Daniel, I don't know what else to say. This has been part three of our summer series, Blockbuster Directors.
Here we
began
are.
Began with Michael Bay.
Ends with Zack Snyder.
A little bit of J.J. Abrams in the middle. This was super fun.
It was.
I'm actually really glad that we were able to get into these kinds of films. I don't know that we would have otherwise. I'm really glad we did this.
I mean, this is the time to do it.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be easy. I mean, people listen to our library, right? They'd be like, Oh, these guys, they only watch serious things.
Sure.
Or things they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, but there is an in-between. There's a blockbuster.
Well, the fact of the matter is, I think blockbusters are as deserving of close analysis as maybe any other films or any other directors that we might consider. So we covet your feedback. We would very much like to interact with you directly about this discussion, about film directors and films in general. What do you think about the craft of film? Well, anyhow, till next time, I'm Jeremy Bear.
I'm Daniel Long.
We'll talk to you next time.
Later.
In me. Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down.